She's our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
We've got some pretty big problems here. We need some pretty big solutions, you know.
So we've got to make some decisions here as to what's in the best interest.
Do you think you represent Italian Americans in a positive light?
We're not trying to represent anybody.
Our team traveled down to Port-au-Prince with a desire
to slap the young lady on her buttock.
It's stupid.
Famous Phil Hendry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the only radio show that knows what it's talking about, the only talk show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we take a trip through the looking glass of media, of opinion, of news, and maybe even of how you think about things. And we're going to be celebrating the 20th year of this show being on the air in one form or another, the Phil Hendry Show, which is a radio show that has been like I said, on the air in one form or another for 20 years in August of this year, starting right up the beach here in Ventura at a station called KVEN. And from there, we went to WSB in Atlanta. We went to WCCO in Minneapolis. We went to to WIOD in Miami, and where we are currently in Miami on Waxy and in the Twin Cities on K-Talk and in Atlanta on WCFO. And we're now on in Santa Barbara on KIST. So you see, the names change, but the cities remain the same pretty much, or in the case of Santa Barbara, the area. And this radio show began in 1990 using a form of improv put-on humor that today is all over the world. All over the world. We started creating this kind of improv put-on humor and drawing people in to call our radio show and interact theatrically with what we were doing. Nobody was doing it. And guess what? We got Bruno, and we got whatever the hell else that cat calls himself. And we got, we got this guy O'Keefe. And we had Spy Television, and we had Jamie Kennedy. And my goodness gracious, it's just the rage. What's that guy call himself?
Borlock.
Borlock? Who the hell is...
You're talking about Borat?
Borat, that's the guy. I remember when we got on the air and Los Angeles, came to L.A. in 1996. You could have looked at the TV guide then, and there wasn't anything even approaching Spy TV, Jamie Kennedy Experiment, none of that stuff, man. We were on the air for a year, and the next year, take a look at it, boom. Am I saying that this show caused everybody to do what they're doing? No. Am I saying this show was influential? Yes. Am I saying that this radio show has as much to do with this revolution in entertainment / journalism as anything else in the history of man? You better believe I am. James O'Keefe, that cat wouldn't even be doing what he was doing if it wasn't for this show starting 20 years ago. 20 years ago. I got news for you. He may not know it, but it wouldn't be. He wouldn't be doing what he's doing. So we're very proud of that. So in August, I had to look up, and there's that woman from The Nation.
She's pretty,
yeah. Anyway, why is this on the Ed Schultz Show? Would you change that, Robert?
I didn't know that, man. You always take it off every time Buck come on.
What do you mean every time Buck come on? No, don't turn it off of Glenn Beck. Turn it off of O'Reilly is what I'm telling you.
Oh.
Now you got it on that MSN. Katrina Vandenhoevel of The Nation. Oh, man, like she'd make a freight train take a dirt road. Get that off of here now.
I'm trying, man. I want to get that remote.
Yeah, but the remote changes the other channels.
Well, I told you guys to figure that out. Will you get the Time Warner out of here and get that code programmed in before I flip? All right, here's a story that really made me laugh, and it's President Obama. He's down in Tampa, and I guess he bowed to the Japanese-American mayor of Tampa, and people think that that's significant. Get a life, get two lives while you're at it. Get one for me. President Obama may be in for another bowing brouhaha. Bowling. This is according to the New York Daily News. Now, I told you guys at the beginning of the show, this isn't a story. This is a story because Fox and Friends wants it to be a story. It'll be a story as long as Steve Doocy is running his yap about it. Beyond that, it's about as much of a story, man, as anything else these days. Which could mean that it's, the front page of Time magazine, but I don't know. So he goes down to Tampa, and no, he goes down to Tampa, and he appears to greet the mayor of Tampa, Pam Iorio. And that's a hell of a name for a black president. With a bow in a picture taken last week by an Associated Press photographer, which is just making the rounds today because these guys who are, you know, pushing the news, man, they are flat out of news. The meeting between Obama and Mayor Iorio took place at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa. What?
What about MacDill, see?
What about MacDill?
Dill.
What about Dill?
Well, you say it about Iorio, Oreo, and Dill.
Get out of here, man.
Will you just do what I told you to do, man, and change the channel on that thing, or get Time Warner out here to do it for me? Problem is, I got two remote boxes on top of each other, so I can't use the remote. Anyway, the mayor of Tampa isn't a third-world potentate, totalitarian dictator, or terrorist leader, so I can't understand why Obama would be in a full-blown mode, a full bow mode, a post on the conservative blog Red State. You know what, Red State? You guys have got way too little to write about. You guys are exactly what's wrong with the country, you and every other jackass on the blue state side, too. One of the reasons why I really liked what Obama did last Friday, and if you didn't see Obama's meeting with the Republican congressman, it's true, and I'd tell you if it wasn't true, it is true. He did pretty much take the full measure of those guys. They didn't have anything. They didn't come with anything. They came with pea shooters. And Obama's standing there. He fielded all those questions, and he had his comments. And as I said last week, he didn't break a sweat, man. He was just like, what the hell? Is that it? Is it over? You talk about the most lightweight presentation I've ever seen by a group of guys that were talking blood and guts not 48 hours before about, hey. And so they go back into their mode of taking a cheap shot like, what's this guy bowing for? Why don't you write about something that means something? Maybe something you guys can understand. Did he bow? Did he not bow? I don't know. Maybe he forgot. Maybe he thought she was the Japanese emperor. Maybe he forgot he was in America. Well, it sets a bad example around the way. It doesn't set any bad example around the world. He made a mistake. I suppose we need you guys to nitpick this stuff just so we have something real to make fun of, Red State blog. But that didn't end. No, 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 no. Then this morning's episode of Fox and Friends aired the photo and revisited past Obama bowing controversies with a montage of shots in which the president is supposedly bowing because Steve Doocy likes what his ass looks like. Anyway, no, here it is. Fox and Friends, right? Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, I think it's Obama and he bows and everything.
Here.
Of course, the president of the United States on Friday down in Tampa. What does he do with the mayor of Tampa? He bows to her.
Why?
I don't know.
This is weird.
Because she's Japanese, that's why.
Some of the bloggers, they said they had to check and make sure that he hadn't dropped something or was looking down.
Maybe he dropped something.
Apparently not.
Well, the mayor's not buying it because the mayor's not looking for it. The mayor's just going, why are you bowing, Mr. President?
No. She looks imperial, actually.
Yeah. She does.
She's like, yes, thank you.
Yes.
Thanks
for coming to my palace.
Maybe he's stretching.
Oh, shut up. So because those guys were yammering about it, then Red State picked up on it again and probably a whole bunch of other blogs that shouldn't even exist. I mean, there are people out there. Do you realize the jobs available at McDonald's as we speak and you guys are still hoping against hope somebody's going to read your silly little blog? Allison Camerato was the woman you heard there. We've seen it many times. Obama's previous bows to King Abdullah of Saudi Arabia and Japan's Emperor Akihito, or whatever the hell they call him, drew the right's ire, with conservative pundits accusing the president of inappropriately kowtowing to foreign leaders. And they might have had a point. I don't know. It could be. Maybe not. I don't know. I would agree with them. But the Japanese mayor of Tampa? So he bowed. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he thought he'd just bow and as a gag. Hey, how you doing? Maybe they joked about it later. I think I'll bow. You know, everybody's these clowns in the press. Oh, she probably dug it. And that's where that goes. But that's another example of, we got that story. This is a rotten news week, man, when that stuff there is going to town. I'd rather talk about Jersey Shore and how, I said I like to watch those guys because they're so stupid. They ain't that stupid, man. They were on a year at $200 an episode. And then they said, okay, is it a hit? Yeah. Well, guess what? We want a raise. And if you think it was one agent that did that for all of them, I don't think so. I think they went out and hired an agent. All right, we'll be back here, 877-876-PHIL, our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Pagans, Wiccans, Druids, gets what? they get worship space at the Air Force Academy. There's an Earth Circle. Is that a trip? Coming up on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
All right, 877-876. Phil is our number at our website, philhenryshow.com. You can go over and take a look at our live streaming video right now if you want. Every night you can see the entire show videoed. You can hear it on live streaming audio. You can also go and listen to the show the next day and download it to your iPod. So hear it on the directly on the site or download it to your iPod and listen to it whenever you'd like. Now then, here we have what?
You belched.
So I belched. You got to tell everybody that I...
Get out of here. No, tell everybody, man. Well, it was obvious.
I'm trying to be a little polite here, man, so I belched. I had a swallow of Diet Coke. You got to point out everything?
Yeah, but it was funny the way you tried to keep it in.
I'm going to smack you, man, and I don't give a damn what you do. What do you think about that?
You would not.
Yes, I would. I'll belch you, and I don't care what you do about it.
Watch it, man.
Blathering on like that in the middle of a show, I'm starting out my segment, you belched.
Yeah, well, you did.
See this, man? And I ain't taking the ring off either. Boom! Boom!
You can't do that.
Anyway, the Air Force Academy has set aside, here you go, bud, an outdoor worship area for pagans, Wiccans, Druids, and other Earth-centered believers. What do you think of that, huh?
I don't know what that is.
You don't know what that is? Why, I thought your girlfriend Vivianne was one of these, man. Ain't she a Wiccan?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. A double circle of stones atop a hill on the campus near Colorado Springs has been designated for the group, which previously met indoors. Dig that. This is the Air Force Academy. We got Wiccans and Druids. Hoo-hoo! Being with nature and connecting with it is kind of the whole point, said Tech Sergeant Brandon Longcrier, who sponsors the group and describes himself as a pagan. It will dramatically improve that atmosphere, the mindset, and the action. Well, not to, seriously, I shouldn't make a joke, because there's more and more people that are rediscovering the pagan thing, you know. I mean, in other words, prior to Christian religion in Europe and elsewhere, we had these, we had different kinds of worship. There was sun worship. Primarily, there was sun worship. There's all kinds of worship, but archaeologists tell us that they find evidence of sun worship worldwide prior to the monotheism, right, of the earlier centuries. So anyway, you got these cats that are into Wiccan and all this jazz. Now, a lot of people are now into Yule instead of Christmas. And I'm reading on a website, not on a website, I was reading a book about Hitler, because you know me. But seriously, Hitler was trying to get rid of Christianity. He wanted to go back to the pagan thing. He wanted to go back to celebrating the solstice on the 21st, the Nazis, the SS. So, you know.
Maybe they weren't so bad.
Yeah, maybe they weren't so bad. You get out of here. Anyway. Maybe they weren't so bad. The stones were moved to the hilltop last year because erosion threatened to make them unstable in their previous location near the visitor's center. Crews arranged them. Anyway, they got they have now a pagan site to worship at the Air Force Academy. It's funny to me, separating church and state, I don't know whether there are official places of worship on other public campuses, university campuses, and it wouldn't really bother me if there were, I guess, because these are adults. So adults, the students at universities are adults, and so they can, in my mind, legally choose, what they'd like to do. So I know they have worship clubs on college campuses. They're Christian, etc. The Air Force Academy actually has places of worship for, get this, not only Protestant Christians, Catholic Christians, Jews, Muslims, and Buddhists. I don't know if they have worship places, but they do sponsor or otherwise, worship facilities. The Academy Superintendent, Lieutenant General Michael Gould, has made religious tolerance a priority. It became a concern in 2004 when a survey found many cadets had heard slurs or jokes about other religions and that some felt ostracized because they were not religious. So this is the Air Force. So when we send our men and our women into the air to defend our country by bombing hell out of the enemy, some of them could be Wiccan or Druid priests. And that's a wild thing to think about. I don't know. However, that seems to be the trend here in this country. Now, given religion at the university level, and that's cool with me, I don't know about any other public university, and the Air Force Academy is public, and so is West Point, so is the Naval Academy. I mean, it's a publicly funded institutions. I don't know about worship facilities anywhere else. But with the rise of the Druid Wiccan thing, right, and the Buddhist thing and all that jazz, I've always felt, and I've maintained to this day, that most atheism in America is not so much against the belief in God, it's anti-Christian. Now, we've mentioned this on a show before. Atheists, American atheists, are not really opposed to the worship of God. They're opposed to the Christian version and the Jewish version of it. They don't like that. I ain't never heard one of those guys speaking out against any native religions. I haven't certainly heard them speak out against any practice of Wicca. Nothing, you know. And they're going to have to now sort of show their colors. They have to come out and say, all this bull crap sucks, including Native American religion. Now, you know, the U.S. government, down through the years, has sponsored many different exhibitions and celebrations of Native American life, including religious observance, religious celebration. So you cats that call yourself atheists, and I don't believe a one of you anyway, but if that's what you want to call yourself, that's fine. Why don't you get with it, man, and make it equal opportunity, okay? Start crapping all over the Indians while you're on it. Because those guys are all about the great spirit this, and not only that, man, if I ever get my hands on some of that peyote, woo!
Yeah, if you don't believe in God, then you better not take acid.
Exactly. Thank you, bud. If you don't believe in God, you better not take acid. What does that mean? All right. So that's the story there, man. 877-876-PHIL. What is this link supposed to go to here, Jason? Oh, there it is. The Air Force Academy. Moving on, we got something else here for you, and this is the UN Climate Change Panel based its claims on student dissertation and magazine articles. So the climate change things gets further and further into the toilet. The United Nations Panel on Climatic Change based claims about ice disappearing from the world's mountaintops on a student's dissertation and an article in a mountain magazine. Are you high on life? The revelation will cause fresh embarrassment for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC. It's time for you, if this stuff is true, now these are a lot of accusations and I haven't heard any proof yet. I'm hearing a lot of accusations, the last one, you know the last one, that the head of the IPCC covered up the whole glacier thing. Yeah, I mean, you know all the stuff that's been that they've been throwing at the IPCC. Now, sooner or later, man, they're going to have a mountain of evidence that these guys at the IPCC couldn't find their ass with both hands and that they might as well just disband this thing and start all over again. That's how stupid these guys are. If this is true, the IPCC remit is to provide an authoritative assessment of scientific evidence on climate change. In its most recent report, it stated that observed reductions in mountain ice in the Andes, Alps, and Africa was being caused by global warming, citing two papers as the sources. However, it can be revealed that one of the sources quoted was a feature article published in a popular mountain climbing magazine, which was based on anecdotal evidence from mountaineers. The other was a dissertation written by a geography student studying for the equivalent of a master's degree at the University of Bern in Switzerland that quoted interviews with mountain guides. The revelations uncovered by the Sunday Telegraph have raised fresh questions about the quality of the information contained in the report, which was published in 2007. Now, this is the Daily Telegraph of Great Britain. So before we go hog wild, let's remember, okay, that their information may be nothing but, you know, garbage. But we're getting these reports now kind of almost daily about the IPCC and what they're basing their global climate change statements, papers at all on, or the information they are getting, how they're disseminating it, the timeliness of it. And it all is coming down looking really bad for the IPCC, the United Nations, climate change, and that whole bullcrap panic that they got everybody in. 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, Rip Torn is going to rehab. Not that anybody really knows. Rip's a great actor. I shouldn't call him. I don't know him. I should say Mr. Torn. But anyway, he's going to rehab because apparently he busted into some place. He thought it was his house, and I think it was actually a jail. And a woman is looking for her husband, is looking for a husband for health insurance. Yeah, sure. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show coming up. John Edwards, his aide rejected big offers for a tape. Andrew Young is interviewed by George Stephanopoulos and others and talks about this sex tape that he had his hands on. I guess he watched. How embarrassing is that? This is like a friend of yours. This is John Edwards who turned over basically the care and feeding of what's left of his reputation to this guy, Andrew Young. Which it looked like early on included the money payoff to this Riel or Riley or whatever the hell her name is, Hunter. And now this guy has a videotape of you having sex with this chick, and you're supposed to protect that. He's been offered all kinds of money for this thing. I don't know who it belongs to. It probably belongs to Ms. Hunter, I think. That's what she's claiming anyway. But you know what they say? There is a compelling public interest. So you're going to have to maybe give it over sooner or later there, Mr. Young, sir. Or you know, the money is going to be too good, too interesting, too whatever. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, and our website is philhendryshow.com. And here we go. Bush administration lawyers who paved the way for sleep deprivation and waterboarding of terrorism suspects exercise prior judgment but will not be referred to. Will not be referred to authorities for possible sanctions, according to a forthcoming ethics report. This is an ethics report. The work of John C. Yu and J.S. Bibby, officials in the Bush Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel, provided the basis for controversial interrogation strategies that critics likened to torture in the years after Al-Qaeda's 2001 terrorist strikes. Let me explain something to you when I get done with this, because this borders on talking about gibbering, blithering idiots. When you have to get into this topic and explain it to people that already have their minds made up that George Bush is a war criminal, in other words, you know they have no interest at all, no interest at all in truth. You talk about people making things tough for Obama, and I've often said this, and they do. They make things as difficult for Obama as these douchebags did for Bush. They are as ideologic as these douchebags were against Bush. They are as uninterested in the well-being of the country. I mean, the people that oppose Obama and the people that oppose Bush are the same scum, if you want my honest opinion, coming out of the same pond. They have no interest in the country's well-being. They only have interest in selling their stupid, puny little point of view about conservatism or progressivism-isms. All right, so there's their little report. This is an ethics panel report. The reasoning set out in a series of secret memos, blah, 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 blah. We're not interested in this, okay, Kerry Johnson of the Washington Post. Why don't you just get to who the hell is it? Well, in any event, this is an ethics panel that most likely works for the United States Congress. It was prepared, this is a draft report prepared at the end of the Bush years, recommended that you, now a law professor at the University of California, Berkeley, now a federal appeals court, and the other guy, Bibby, now a federal appeals court judge, be referred to state disciplinary authorities for sanctions that could have included the revocation of their licenses. But then Attorney General Michael McCaskey and Deputy Attorney General Mark R. Phillip blasted the analysis in the draft and sent it back to the ethics office for more work. Meanwhile, the 5-year statute of limitations on Yu's alleged conduct expired. Now, there's a lot of people going to say, oh, look at this. These guys got out with their asses intact. These guys, this is a political prosecution. It has nothing to do with law. It has nothing whatsoever to do with precedent. It has nothing whatsoever to do, I'm serious, with precedent, with the way the military has handled or our intelligence community has handled Terry. Nothing to do with it at all. It is based on politics, a political prosecution, because the time is right, the moment is ripe, the opposition primed, the anger toward a particular president at a peak among certain ideologues, that, and the forces marshaled that now they have some kind of a consensus, they believe, some kind of a constituency to push forward a prosecution, a criminal prosecution of individuals who authorized techniques and interrogation styles, if you will, and interrogation methods that have been used for decades. Decades! I almost laughed when I looked at that sleep deprivation. I thought, are you kidding? You're kidding, right? Sleep deprivation has been used by the CIA for decades. George Bush? Do you want to go back and prosecute attorneys that worked for Clinton, Reagan, Carter? Because I'm telling you, you'd fill prisons. Are you crazy? Are you stupid? Or are you just ideologically driven to the point where it doesn't matter how complex, how convoluted, it doesn't matter how difficult the historical forces at work may be to contend with, you're going to get your little pinprick of blood. Even Obama recognizes. Now, this guy Holder, who I thought had a couple of brains in his head, you know, he's really, this cat has really fallen about 500 degrees, in my estimation, since I thought this guy had a fairly pragmatic approach to things. He's about as stupid as the day is long. That's the God's honest truth. You think this jackball, when he sat there in front of the United States Congress, and I'll tell you, the day my eyes got open is when that clown Graham, who ain't exactly the brightest bulb on the tree, said to him, what's the precedent for this? And he couldn't think of it. You think that guy would have been at least prepared for that question? And now New York City's saying they can't afford it, and all of a sudden the Obama administration says, oh, hell, you know, we never thought of that one. And Holder, oh, well, geez, all of these things that if you had somebody who had 5 cents worth of brains in his head, this guy would have figured this stuff out. So this guy, Holder, now let's talk about the president. He knew. He said it. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I don't want to look back. I want to look forward. I don't want, but if the Attorney General of the United States finds evidence of a crime, yes, I'm duty bound. I am oath bound. He's right. I have to. I don't say to an Attorney General, you don't prosecute that crime. Then I become Richard Nixon. Of course I have to. There's no such thing, ladies and gentlemen, of saying, well, I have evidence of a crime having been committed, Mr. President. Should I prosecute? No. Let's just put, there's no legal way you can do that. Now, maybe there are presidents in the past, and I dare say Democrat as well as Republican, who've done that. Obama, and we've learned our lesson since Richard Nixon. If you're a president and you want to stay president and you don't want to have your ass tarred and feathered, if there's a crime, you refer it to your attorney general and he decides whether or not there is evidence, and he comes to you and you say, prosecute. That's the way it goes. And that's the way it's got to be with any president, Obama or otherwise. But to say this guy committed a crime because he recommended waterboarding and sleep deprivation when we've been using it for years, when it was not illegal at the time to use it, and to say that it's somehow a magical invention of the Bush administration is to think like a five-year-old. I'm telling you, a five-year-old. You're not even interested. Like I said, you're not even interested in whether or not the country is moving forward or getting healthier or getting better. It's just another little point to be won. You know, it's exactly what Obama was talking about on Friday. He couldn't have said it better. He said, you guys approach this thing like it's a damn debate, like we're scoring points. We got a country to save here. And the proof for me on that day, and I don't want to change this, the proof for me that day was that he was not challenged credibly once by one of those clowns in that room. Not a one of them. And he had every one of them. He had Boehner. He had every one of those princes of darkness in there that could have screwed his day up. And those guys came at him, man, like with nothing. In any event, Obama says to Holder if there's a crime, but I got to tell you something, gentlemen of the press, as you ask me, well, are you going to prosecute or are you going to not prosecute? What do you think? I would rather that we move forward. However, if you guys are hell-bent on it, I got Pelosi and I got Feinstein over there in the Congress, and they're just chomping at the bit. Oh, Mr. President, our Senate Intelligence Committee, why, you know, they're going to come up with, they're just chomping at the bit to find somebody to burn, I mean, burn to the ground on this thing, on waterboarding and sleep deprivation, everything else. What the hell do you want me to do about it? I got Feinstein there jumping up and down and saying, I got an intelligence committee, and by God, we're gonna find somebody to cook. So what do you want me to do, huh? She's going to come over to Holder. She's going to say, here, look at this. Hopefully Holder will take a look what Feinstein lays in front of him, wipe his rear end with it, and hand it back to her. Thanks a lot, Diane. That's about how much it's worth. See you later. Well, Mr. Attorney General, I think, yeah, uh-huh, really? Well, no, I don't think so. So this is the beginning of what many of us predicted, and that is you can scream and yell and bleat like a sheep all you want about laws this, laws that, Constitution this and Constitution that. Most of the people that have talked about the shredding of the Constitution wouldn't know the Constitution from the monopoly instructions. And so we know what that's worth. And most of the people that talk about lawbreaking, they wouldn't know lawbreaking, man, from how to unzip. And most of these people that are talking about the Bush lawyers and the sanction of illegality, this, illegality, that, I mean, these people, maybe they can get out a couple of blogs a week. That's it. They don't know what they're talking about any more than they think anybody else does. So at the end of the day, when all of this is finally delivered into the hands of the cool, the calm, and the collected, and people can pick through what evidence do we have, guess what? None. All right. More than anything else, I think Obama, you know, he had Daddy Bush at the White House. You know that?
Yeah, I seen that on TV.
You want to know why he had Daddy Bush at the White? You don't think that old man Bush calls him up and says, hey, Barack, why don't I invite myself up to the White House? He called him up and had him come up there.
How come he didn't have another Bush?
Because it wouldn't look good. But he wants to talk to another president. He wants to sit down with another president and say, oh, my God. I'll bet you him and Bush, old man Bush was there, you know. He was in the White House, I guess, for the weekend or something. And I'll bet you President Obama called him up. He says, you know, I could, you want to come up and come on up and have breakfast. All right. What are they doing? They're breaking your ass. Are you kidding? They're killing me. Here's what you do. All of these clowns are killing me. I mean, your own the people in my own party, man, I can't stand half these bastards. They're driving me crazy. And I bet you they sat down, they broke bread, maybe poured a couple of fingers of, you know, I don't know, Knob Creek in a glass and went to it.
You said knob.
So I said knob creek.
Oh, yeah, that's okay.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. 877-876-PHIL. We got the stories we couldn't get to, if I can get them printed off in time. Coming up next, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget www.twitter.com/Phil Hendry Show to tweet Pete.
Phil Hendry. Our bitch, the Phil Hendry Show.
All right, time now for the stories we couldn't get to on the show tonight. Crixus stand to issue passports for sheep. For those of you who've been waiting for this announcement, I know, Bud, you have.
Yeah, but wait about Crixus stand.
Ex-Soviet Kyrgyzstan is preparing to roll out a new system under which the millions of sheep residing in the mountainous state will receive their own high-tech passport. According to state television, First Deputy Prime Minister Japarov said in an address to Parliament, the government has drafted a bill to deliver a cutting-edge passport to the nation's sheep. We're ready to make a passport for each sheep, that is, from their birth to their slaughter. It'll be possible to recognize a sheep's pedigree by using laser scanning, he said. And then he said, oh, my God, what have I done? I just let PETA know that we slaughter sheep. Oh, my Jesus. Pulled out a gun, blew his brains out. Doesn't matter. Kyrgyzstan, an impoverished Central Asian country bordering China and Kazakhstan, is home to 4.25 million sheep. In fact, three of them got elected to parliament. Anyway, some other guy by the name of Gabulian, head of the National Center of Sheep. No, head of the National Center of Quarantine and Infectious Diseases of the Ministry of Health, told reporters the passports would help contain disease and urged authorities to go one step further. In Kyrgyzstan, every cow must obtain a passport in order to prevent the spread of dangerous infection to humans, he said. The proposal also includes a system of insurance for sheep, which can be a major source of income for families in the mostly rural country. And that would, of course, include, tractor insurance for sheep. Some drive the tractors.
Really?
No, not really. Oh, boy.
God, man.
Drive the tractors. Anyway, in Lowell, Massachusetts, police say a lumber truck crashed into a Massachusetts home after the driver was knocked unconscious when he choked on chili from Wendy's. Well, that's a hell of an ad, man. Did you have to say it was from Wendy's? Thanks a lot. Well, who are you? I'm the manager of Wendy's. Couldn't you just say he choked on chili? Well, I thought it was funny. Oh, you think it's funny, huh? Ruin the reputation of the Lowell's chili? Lowell police say Eric Grimm reported that he choked on the chili when the truck hit a bump, causing him to pass out. The flatbed truck veered off the road and slammed into the foundation of a home. He mentioned Wendy's, obviously setting himself up for a lawsuit. Yeah, right, pal. Why don't you chew your food and then swallow it? I think you're such a fat slob that you just inhaled that chili and you didn't, you didn't think about the whole mastication thing, Dad.
Yeah, say that, man. That's dirty.
No, it ain't dirty. Mastication's different. The 59-year-old Tingsboro resident was taken by ambulance to a local hospital for treatment of minor injuries. Police said he could be cited for eating while driving. Dig that. There goes your lawsuit. Boulder crashes through Tennessee home, barely misses 75-year-old woman asleep in bed. Dateline Rogersville, Tennessee. Emergency officials say a boulder about the size of a compact car crashed into an apartment building, barely missing a woman sleeping in her bedroom. Police Chief David Jackson in Rogersville in eastern Tennessee said it would have been better if she'd been sleeping in the kitchen. Anyway, 75-year-old Elizabeth Allred was lucky that the 10-foot-wide, 3-meter-wide, for those of you listening in Canada, boulder didn't hit her bed straight on. Instead, it crashed nearby, and the imploding wall sent her hospital bed rolling across the room. She was at home recovering from a broken hip when it happened Monday morning. How did she get the broken hip? Another boulder rolled to the other side of the house last week. Allred told Jackson it felt like a train crashing into her room. Jackson said the boulder broke loose from the bank above the dwelling during recent rains. The Kingsport Times News reported that Allred was listed in good condition at a hospital on Tuesday. Very, very good news. Absolutely. Getting more from the stories that we couldn't get here this evening, jilted hubby exacts mousy revenge. In Stockholm, a 59-year-old man has been arrested for using his ex-wife's musophobia to wreak cruel revenge for their breakup after he pushed 19 mice through her letterbox on Sunday morning. What a jackass. She was scared out of her wits and is now being cared for in a hospital, said Lars Lisberger at the Stockton Police. The jilted ex-husband had been arrested on suspicion of unlawful threats and animal welfare offenses. Dig that. It wasn't so much that she's in the hospital almost being scared to death. It was animal welfare of the mice.
What are you talking about?
I mean, it doesn't matter what happened to her, the mice welfare.
Yeah, but what about the threats?
Big deal, the threats. She's in the hospital. Unlawful threats, okay? He carried out the threat. He sent the mice through. Anyway, knowing that his ex-wife suffered from musophobia, an unreasonable and disproportionate fear of rats and mice, how could there possibly be such a thing? The man arrived at her apartment in the northern Stockholm suburb of something or other in the early hours of Sunday morning, bearing a paper bag full of mice. The 37-year-old woman awoke to find the scampering mouses, in her apartment and called the police at 7:30 in the morning. The police arrested the man, took him in for questioning, strapped a hungry rat in a cage to his face, and then, no, they didn't.
That was in 1984 and everything.
That was. The 19 mice captured at the woman's apartment are also being housed at the police station pending the advice of the county veterinarian, who probably will say something like, I don't know, throw them in a freaking river. What do you want from me, man? It's Sunday morning. According to the local newspaper, the man's demanded the return of his mice. All right. So that's from Stockholm, man, where I'm glad I don't live. British anti-jargon campaigners were celebrating on Monday after forcing a supermarket chain to change the labeling on a sausage snack which had been described as ambient. The Plain English campaign said it had no idea what the ambient sausage roll was. Oh, get out of here with this crap. What else we got here, bud?
I don't know.
Here's a good one. Appleton, Wisconsin. An Appleton woman who tried to extort money from an upscale restaurant by putting a rat in her lunch. What is it with people and rats? Well, anyway, she tried to extort money from a restaurant by putting a rat in her lunch. Has entered no contest pleas to two criminal charges. The Appleton Post-Crescent reported 43-year-old Debbie R. Miller was found guilty after she entered the pleas to a felony extortion charge. Man, they don't play that anymore. Don't you understand? They know how to figure out whether or not you put the... Remember that lady with the finger in the chili? There was a woman that claimed there was a finger in her chili, and I think it was like Wendy's or one of them. And it turned out she put it in there. It was disgusting. All kinds of stuff. I heard a story about a woman putting a condom in clam chowder, and then she said the restaurant put it in there. They found out that the restaurant had not put it in there. They sued her, and I think they also put her to death by way of the guillotine. So, no, I'm kidding, bud.
All right.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. Our website, philhendryshow.com. Why don't you visit us online anytime to download the show or look at our video archive. Until later on tonight or tomorrow morning, a very pleasant good morning from El Pacifico.
Phil Hendry.